Hello again and welcome back to the Bikepacking Podcast with Mike Rain. As I speak this morning, I'm having a little chat with you before heading out to do a circular route from Aberystwyth. I'll talk more about that one in due course. But what I did want to talk about circular routes and one particular circular route today, because it's so much easier, isn't it? Starting and finishing in the same place. In future podcasts, I'll show you how you can do Chaos Eri as a circular, and I'll show you how you can do Transcambrian as a circular as well. I'll talk about it anyway. It's hard to show you on a podcast. But hopefully I'll give you the inspiration to get out there and do your own thing. But today I'm going to focus on the Rhinog round, or the Cylchdaith Rhinogydd. And depending how good your Welsh is. I do try with my Welsh, but it will falter from time to time, so please do forgive me. A ride around the Rhinogydd looked like a really interesting thing to do, and there were some certain factors that came together to tempt me into the creation of a circuit. One was that I'd never done the Pont Scethin mountain bike round, and that's been a famous away from Trail Centre, one of the original mountain bike rounds in Wales, and it looked like something that I would like to do. Another tweak was I'd spotted an interesting looking route between two hills called Robechvawa and the Acht. Don't worry if you can't get those names. They're east of the, well, they're east of Coed y Brenin, actually, and there looked like a way through between those two that I hadn't done. So it would take you away from Coed y Brenin and round the back. I wanted to put the Bryn Cadair Fhana monument into a bikepacking route, and that's a fantastic old stone circle that we'll talk about when I get there. But it's quite a unique little monument that's worth a visit to. And then, brooding over the maps, I spotted a leat on the northern edge heading west from Llynchars Vinnyth, and leats are level watercourses that feed reservoirs and things, so they can not always, can be quite good for bikepacking on. Such is the way new routes come together, though to call them new is probably a bit presumptuous. I try to link bits of routes that I know I've done before, I know are cyclable. But sometimes, you know, you just got to go and have a look, and this is how the classic mountain bike rounds are drawn together. I parked to the northern end of Llynchars Vinnyth near the Lakeside Cafe, and it was quite a grey, dank March morning. It's a great cafe when open, but like so many others, they've been struggling for staff, and making ends meet is not easy. Poor opening hours lead to a declining clientele, as you're never sure as to whether the cafe will be open or not. So it precludes it as a meet-up point, and on this day I didn't even rely on it for breakfast. I parked a little further down the lane. It's a pretty quiet place, so there's no great worries about leaving your motor there. Quiet that is, apart from the ginormous nuclear power station that casts a long shadow over the northern edge of Llynchars Vinnyth. I think our relationship with nuclear power is warming, if that's not a scary expression to use. But this is one of the original power stations built in the 1960s, won awards for its architecture due to its perceived resemblance to a traditional Welsh castle. I can actually vouch for this. I was out on a misty day in the Moelwinion once, leading a walking group, when a youngster in the group took my elbow and pointed. "Look," she said, "look at that big beautiful castle down there with the clouds around it." I didn't have the heart to tell her it was a nuclear power station. When you get close to it, though, the concrete monstrosity reveals itself in its full deformation. It's an incredible feat of human ingenuity, but the construction is, audaciously, in the middle of a national park. Looks can be deceiving, though. The land around and adjacent to the power station has not been farmed since it was built, and I actually followed the most delightful lakeside cycleway through native woodland. The place was alive with birds. The leaves on the trees were beginning to open, and the odd spring bulb was poking through the ground below them. There's an informative visitor display in a shelter partway along the shore, and from there I dropped down to an incredible dam. The lake has been dammed for longer than the nuclear power station has been here, because further downstream there's a hydroelectric power station. The outflow from the lake itself goes through some remarkably unspoilt native woodland, which is actually temperate rainforest, known in these parts as Celtic rainforest. The northern end of Llynchardd-Vinnyth is a wonderful spot for walking and cycling. I actually went past my turn-off, it was quite a discreet one, and I had to stop and resist the allure of the lakeside cycleway. Chaos Eryri comes this way on this very lakeside cycleway. It's a lovely spot. I got onto the Leat, which took me west across the northern side of the Rhinogydd, and was cyclable for most of the way in a mountain bike sort of way. It wasn't smooth, it's quite lumpy. After the Leat, there was a boggy bit, and I had to push a little bit. And then I came across these most gorgeous ruins. I don't think I took quite the best route to them. But what I could see was a route that would be better for next time. And I've already done that subsequently. It's unusual to come across old barns, apparently disused, with the roofs mostly intact. And sadly, there were signs of disrespect in one of these, and a litter pick would need to be organised. Still, it's nice to linger here. And the old farmhouse called Nant Pasgan Mawr. It's actually a Grade 2 listed 16th century crook-framed stone-built domestic dwelling. And as such, it represents a time in history when construction shifted from wood to stone. It was also during this period when open halls were replaced with internal floors to create upper stories. Whatever its architectural significance, it's a marvellous spot to sit and ponder this quiet, lovely corner of the Rhinogydd. I pushed my bike up a steep, rough, ancient bridleway, and at the top there was a ruin which gave a nice windbreak for lunch. And the following year I was there again with my two friends Graham and Richard, and we were sitting in the same spot when a dash of white caught our eye, and we were able to sit and watch a stoat in full winter plumage hunting just across from where we sat until it vanished into thin air. A little further up the hill, the track levels out and I turn to the right. The bridleway itself carries on to the east, where, seemingly in the middle of nowhere, but actually at a parish boundary, it transforms into a footpath. I took a right, which is also marked as a footpath on the map. On the ground, however, it's clearly a well-established double track and old highway. I had no qualms about following it on my bike. The laws around rights of way are pretty vague and arbitrary. It was in 1949 when each council was asked by government to decide which routes within its parish should become a bridleway and which should become a footpath. The lack of oversight is well illustrated in this vicinity. The track I followed crosses the northern Rhinogydd, linking old settlements and hut circles with my intended destination, Bryn Caravanna. I just refused to believe this track, with such a long history, was not regularly used by horses at some time in the past. This is a really good example of the need to tidy up our rights of way and other access laws. Bryn Caravanna is a stone circle with a difference. The stones all lean outwards. It looks as though that's deliberate. It's described as a Bronze Age cairn circle. There's been a bit of excavation in the middle that's formed a depression. But the most bizarre thing is, during the Second World War, it was used for artillery target practice. Somehow it survived all that disrespect, and today it is a graceful monument and well worth passing by. And it also reminds us that a lot of the ancient ways did pass across higher ground because the valleys would have been boggy or densely wooded and very unfavourable for travel. This track was probably once the main thoroughfare hereabout, so I had no worries about riding my bike on it. And then there's a double track set heading south, probably used by military vehicles in the Second World War, certainly used by modern farm vehicles. It's a joy to ride on the bike. Really good going in a fantastic place. I rode and pushed to the south of Moyle Geodog, probably. At one point, screaming downhill, my front wheel sunk into a bog, which I'd spotted too late. I'm afraid I continued over the handlebars and my Well, let's say I had a soft landing in a bog. I did damage a phone holder that I was using at the time. There were some tempting footpaths cutting off a corner, but I carried on this double track, which took me to a minor road and quite a long tarmac section, but pretty deserted, and through some lovely, lovely valleys. Drops down past Gerddi Bliog, a lovely old building, once extended and modernised by William Clough Ellis. Nearly was a youth hostel, but it all looks pretty empty today. It's a fast downhill though, down into Coed Cravnant. And Coed Cravnant is really good remnant Celtic rainforest. I've been there several times and really like it. It's one of those places that's actually best when it's wet as well. Dripping mosses, moss, lichen-topped walls line the lane that you wheel down towards Llambeda. No traffic at all. Wonderful, quiet place. Beyond Coed Cravnant, followed some more tarmac roads and went into a valley called Cwm Nantcol. From there, climbed up a little bit and then left the tarmac, heading on the rough and, to be honest, quite abused tracks that lead to Pont Skethin. Now, Pont Skethin itself is lovely. It's a weathered, it's a humpback pack horse bridge. Local stone really sits comfortably in what is a bit of a desecrated landscape, and it actually is the most attractive feature in this area now. It was built to support an old drover's route from Harlech to London, and sometimes I wonder why we don't hear more about the drovers. You know, cowboy images and the romance of that world flood our modern media, but the drovers who were around for longer and played important roles in trade, banking and opening up of highways, they seem to be very, very invisible almost. Perhaps we should pay a little more attention to the history of droving. The parapets on the bridge widen either side to funnel animals in and across its surface sets. But around the bridge is a rutted quagmire. This is a place that has been utterly devastated by recreational motor vehicles. You simply can't ride your bike. I was having to sort of balance on ruts, picking up the bike and get from one to another, trying to find the best way. You kept going down dead ends and having to get off and move to a parallel line. I just really get disappointed by that damage. Beyond the bridge, it's a good honest push. Just nothing. Nothing else to do but push right up to the ridge. And then when you get to the top, it's fabulous. The day I was there, it was low cloud. But I have been before, and it again, subsequently, we had a fantastic day. It's called Breich, and it's a classic wild mountain ridge, and I loved it. You've got to think. You've got to think about which track to use. You've got to think about your speed, your momentum. You've got to keep looking ahead. It's not manicured trail centre riding, and you're never quite sure what just lays ahead. But I could see far enough to make good progress. I came to a gate that I needed to pass through, and unfortunately, there was a sheep there with its head stuck between the gatepost and the wall. I tried really hard to help that sheep, twisting its head this way and that way, trying to find the little sweet spot how it had got stuck in there, but I couldn't find it. And the annoying thing about that was the nearest farm was lower down than I wanted to go. I had wanted to turn right towards Barmouth on some rough tracks, but I had to drop down a bit further to get to this farm. All I could do was, I couldn't leave the sheep like that. I went and told the farmer, and they were very grateful, and they were going to zip up there on a motorbike to free it. So I came back up and got on these ancient tracks. I did manage to find a campsite just tucked down behind a wall. It wasn't great. It was a bit of damp ground, but I got out of the wind, and yeah, it was okay. One of those necessity wild camps rather than romantically beautiful wild camps. I carried on the track in the morning. It's flagged in places and hemmed in by crumbling old dry stone walls. This was probably the main route along this valley from the sort of Dolgellau area to Barmouth before the valley road came along. So it's a good track connecting ruins and isolated farmsteads. Lots of history. I didn't need to stop in Barmouth because I didn't need any supplies, but it was chucking it down. And there's a great little shelter just at the start of Barmouth Bridge, so popped in there for a wee while. The bridge is lovely. I think the Barmouth Bridge is a bit of a highlight for me. 820 metres long, opened in 1867. It's the longest wooden viaduct in use in Wales. So it's a pretty spectacular construction. Cuts off a massive detour inland. There's a railway line over the bridge and the cycle track alongside that pedestrians share as well. The bridge has recently been renovated and I think it's a special feature. Bridge takes you to the Malvac Trail, and this is one of the oldest cycle paths that's built on a rail bed. It's a well-known and rightly popular route from Barmouth to Dolgellau, and that's where I was heading. The track's as good as level, lined with trees on one side and the tidal estuary on the other. It's a relaxing place to ride. The cyclist can take some time to look around and enjoy the place. As you ride, you are watched over by swans, oyster catchers, mallards and the odd little egret from the left. Then on the right, it'll be robins, blackbirds, wren and the odd crow keeping an eye out for you. I love this trail. Dolgellau was quiet. A handful of pigeons patrolled the streets. A gang of sparrows bickered in a hedge. A cat sat nearby waiting its chance while the dog owner picked up his pooch's poo in a plastic bag. The streets are pinched in by tall grey buildings that overshadowed me. The pavements are narrow and it made this a tricky place for bikepackers. I tried on some previous occasions a couple of cafes. One which had a garden, which made it more accessible with a bike, was poor and was now closed anyway. And another one, that it wasn't that great a cafe, but you've sort of got to balance your bike, blocking the pavement outside it. So I was disappointed. I went to the Co-op for lunch, unable to support a local business. But the place where you put your trolleys did provide shelter from the rain, so not all bad. So steady climb from Dolgellau, quiet lanes to a place called Chan Vachreth. From here, picked up some lovely bridle wares. One of them had those bloody ladder styles on, though. And I did report this to Gwynedd Council, and they said there was some difficulty with the landowner. And it's so frustrating because it's a bridle way. You can't have ladder styles on. So you've got to get over those with your loaded bike, which is very frustrating. But you're definitely on a bridle way. It's a bridle way on the OS map. It's a bridle way on the County Council's definitive map. So if you find yourself there, you report it as well. And one day we might get something done about it. Around that track, though, there's some beautiful natural regeneration taking place. A bit of just sort of rewooded area, but it seems to be doing it all on its own. I don't quite know what the story is there. It's another one of these, you get these across Wales, these little sort of accidentally rewilded bits that it's not quite clear. It's not part of a big project or anything. It's just being ignored or left either on purpose or accidentally. And they're really quite nice spots, flooded with birds. From here, I turn north. It's quite a steep lane, but it's one of those lanes. It's just steep enough to gain height nicely, but not too steep to justify getting off and walking. And lots of interest on the way up here. I can't describe it all, but there's just interesting houses, flowers in the verges, birds in the trees. Went past a disused quarry, place that's sort of place I always find quite interesting. A bit of scruffy wood. I don't know how long that'll stay there. Some ace sheepfolds, you know, old dry stone wall. Beautiful sheepfolds. Even crossed a landslide, and the views across to the Arrens are superb. In due course, I arrived at the Bulch between Robechfauer and the Acht. Now, this is a bit buried in the conifer plantation, which is a shame. I've been here before on foot, and the way from between those two hills is really quite difficult, requiring a bit of a jungle bash where trees have been chopped down. Awful terrain, though beautiful hills. Anyway, I didn't need to leave the track today because I was on my bike. And you go on a forest track, and then there's a point where a bridle wear slips off, and it's pretty good. It's another proper traditional mountain biking down a bridle wear. It's brilliant. Takes you down to the edge of the forest, across a little stream, and then you pick up a track that I think is a modern track. It's not a very good track. It seems like it's been a temporary track to put in one of those little hydro schemes. And they're just sort of not maintaining the track now, just leaving it. But hey, it goes okay on a mountain bike, and you end up in the Upper Maldak Valley, which is, well, it's deserted. Nobody there. There are ruins that are empty. I did chat with a farmer in an old van, young English farmer actually. He was keen to chat. They often are, the farmers, you know, because they work on their own a lot, and you're in these places, and It'd just be rude not to say hello. And sometimes you can't get away from them, to be honest, because, you know, they're keen to chat and they work alone. He also had a campsite somewhere else he wanted to push to me, and I've been meaning to go back there, but I haven't quite managed it. Anyway, it was great to chat about how he had become the farmer there through sort of family connections, and we discussed a little bit about how farm payments might change. And it was sad to see all those lovely properties abandoned. I didn't say this to him, but to me, they're the sort of house that would make good holiday homes. Wouldn't impact on local people adversely, because nobody's living there, nobody's likely to live there. But as a holiday home, it'd be fantastic. Carry on down that valley, and you slip into Coir Bren, and you slip in by this weird community centre. Very utilitarian building. Not sure the date of these sort of things. That sort of pebble dash 1930s style, maybe. But there's no community there. I can't see any, you know, there's a handful of houses, and most of them are empty. So quite what the story is of that community centre, I don't know. Maybe we should organise an event there. It'd be a good spot. Getting into the forest is great. We're not on the mountain bike trails here. It's just forest tracks. A bit of a dirty bridle way, a bit grubby, but interesting to follow. Went past somebody's renovation project, and then a gorgeous trail alongside the river there, which was beautiful. And then I met the trail centre waymarkers, which felt bit odd to arrive on the signposted and manicured trails at this point. They didn't even go the right way for me, so I just popped over. So if some of you know this patch up the top there on the mouth, that there's a stone bridge. A lot of the trails come over there, the Minotaur and the Beast and things like that cross the river at this point. There's also a metal bridge as well, so I went over the stone bridge, over the metal bridge. Stunning looking either side of those. Gorges, pools, boisterous waterfalls. It's a fantastic place. I'm intrigued by the gold mine as well, just further behind me. Anyway, pop down the valley a little bit, and there's another big climb to get out of this valley. In fact, it's worse than actually go up and down and then up again. But I was starting to look for a campsite again, and it was all a bit coniferous, without any sort of flat sheep crop grass or anything going on, and I jumped onto the NCN 82, National Cycle Network Route 82, and I think it's just in my head, but I always imagine the NCN routes to be relatively easy routes. I don't know why. They should be flat. They go off road as much as they can, but they stay on forest tracks and cycleways. But this one, yeah, it was a bit of a flog actually. Again, it was one of those hills that it's almost too steep to bother cycling up, almost. But you weren't going slow enough. It wasn't quite hard enough to get off. So I just kept going. And then didn't find anywhere at camp. Found myself on a little tarmac road again. Dead quiet, single track roads, middle of nowhere this. And just on a bit, I was able to sneak into some woods. There was a ruined Havod. And just next to it, this beautiful bit of sheep crop grass. Quite bizarre, really. It's hidden from the road. It was flat. It was dry. And it turned out to be a really good little campsite. what was that, second night, wasn't it? So, I mean, I could have pushed on back to the car, to be honest, because it was a really fast downhill now, then quite a short uphill on tarmac, and then another one down to the village of Charles Vineth, and then you just follow the lakeside trail back to my car. It's a good route to do over 3 days, 2.5 days. It's always tricky, isn't it? You know, if you've driven there on day one, how far can you get that day? So there's 2 full days of cycling. It's just organising the logistics as to how long you'll take. I would definitely recommend. In fact, what I did the following year, I went back with Graham and Richard, and we stayed in 2 hotels. So we parked in the same place, the northern side of Flintshire's Vineth. You'll see a little car park there. And we cycled to a hotel in Clambeda. Now, in the winter, off-season, it's not expensive. It was just under 40 quid a head for B&B in a hotel. You know, that means you have to carry very little. You can get a nice evening meal and a good bed and a shower and a good breakfast. So it's a no-brainer for me that time of year. So we went to Clambeda the first night and then Dolgellau the second night. And again, we got a really good deal in Dolgellau as well, similar sort of price. Shop around, it's on the internet, ring places up, tell them what you're doing. They both had places to put our bikes, so that was fantastic. So the way it went with Rich and Graham is we went from the car park at the north to Clambeda, from Clambeda to Dolgellau. Then it felt a little bit of a longer day coming back to Charles Vineth. Whereas when I'd been on my own, I'd started earlier because I hadn't had to drive as far to get there. So I'd got all the way to this campsite above the mouth of Estuary before Barmouth. Depends what time you start. If you do a full day, you would get to Barmouth that day. But I didn't do a full day because I drove from home. So I stopped before Barmouth, sneak a little campsite. You could camp near Pont Skethin. That wouldn't be a bad place to camp. And there are campsites as well between Clambeda and Pont Skethin, so there's quite a few places you could stay. There's a campsite up the Cravenant Valley. And then for me, on that camping trip, it was down to Barmouth, across the bridge to Dolgellau, between Roberchfawr and the Alt, through Coed y Brenin, and I just needed somewhere to stop before going back to Charles Vineth. So if you're on your own, not unachievable in 2 days, but certainly. I mean, the difference is when there's three of you, you want to stop and have a chat, don't you? You want to stop and have some lunch, you want to stop and have a break, look at stuff, talk about things, just take your time. So it's kind of different cycling in a group to one of your own. So I call it a good route to over 3 days, but it wouldn't be... I hesitate whether it's a tough route to do over 2 days. It wouldn't be horrendous over 2 days. There's another version of this route in Emma Kingston's Bikepacking Wales book, which is actually is almost a different route. But what she, because it's a book, she can't use the leets and the footpaths that are not really footpaths that I use at the northern end. So she does a little bit of road stuff there. And she actually uses the train and goes to Harlech a bit. So well worth a look at Emma's version as well. My version's on Commute, Wales Bikepacking. I'm not sure it's an outdoor active as well. It will be when I get organised. Look, folks, that's the Cylchdaith Crynogydd, or the Rhynog Round. Utterly recommended. Not difficult to look at the map and work out for yourself. My GPX is easily available from Wales Bikepacking on Commute. Strongly recommend that. It is a route I will do again. Anyway, I'm looking out the window now. The sun is shining. The car's packed with the bike. And kit for 3 nights. We're doing a 3 day, 3 night loop from Aberystwyth. So I'll catch up with you again soon. All the best. Bye.